Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this fine sun, bright sun. I hope the sun's out by now. First Sunday in April. Time's marching on, leaving me behind. Hope everyone's had a good week. I invite everyone to have a seat and we'll get started with our announcements. We have lots of announcements in the tripod bulletin. I have to get used to this. Ooh. Anyone have an announcement?
In regard to that, Andrew, Morgan, Nikki, and they were all here at the first service. They were here the whole time. Tyler was here part of the time. You have a job. Tyler has to go work at his job, though. So, he's at Kroger now. But we had two or three that didn't have other obligations that were here the total time. Jade is here much of the time. Jesse is here. The adults is Pam, Sam and Nancy, the Bells. They've helped out a lot. I know I left out somebody.
Louise
but Becky, and we're all tired, but we had a good experience. And you should have seen that gym at 3 o'clock yesterday or 4, and at 7, no, at 8. And then the cleaning lady came in after that, and she did. I don't know how she did before this morning, but she did. So if you find something out of place, we'll try to find it for you.
Okay. Sherry.
I
Okay, do we have any other announcements?
I'm upset this week, and we're supposed to go out there and get the forms and read something out there. But we're going to be setting up this week, and the consignment sale will be for to benefit Amelia's Attic and the Russian Ministry in the West End. I think it starts at 3:30. There's sheets out on the tables out in the vestibule advertising it, and all the times are on there. Yeah, drop-off times will be starting Tuesday, I think, maybe Wednesday. Yes, John.
Yes, they
started
having a little
time.
I didn't start.
No, John Rick is holding his hand up. Oh, first time visit.
I haven't been able to get through the announcements yet. Okay. I'm trying to get through the announcements. Excuse me.
And this is the only clothing consignment sale left in Norman, so we're expecting a great big turnout and make some money for our mission work. Thank you.
Okay, are we finished? Okay, if we had passed out the attendance registers, be sure and register your name. And do we have any new visitors? Have any visitors with us today? First-time visitors? If so, please indicate that and let us know and indicate that in the registration pad. Also, if it's 10:15, put 10:15 down there.
I think everybody here now has been here at least once.
Okay.
We're glad to have the returnees.
Right.
That's been away for a while.
Right. Welcome. Anything else before we go to our prayer request? Do we have any prayer requests this morning? I would also like you to add the family of Joanne Scott. This was my custodian at school. She is really, really missed. We went to her funeral last Monday morning, and she left a big gaping hole in our building that we're having a hard time filling right now. Is there anyone else that has a prayer request?
The family of Daryl Drinkall, and that name may mean something to some of y'all. Daryl Drinkall passed away, I guess, Thursday or Friday.
I remember him. Do we have anyone else? If not, let us pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God.
Sing to God with joyful songs. Tell of His wonderful deeds.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 198. Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin.
Knowing which line to sing on, but I'm glad that Sam does and some of the rest of you do. But just reflect on the marvelous grace of Jesus, the wonderful grace of Jesus. How wide can we think that way? Can we think that wide? How high? How deep? The wonderful grace of Jesus. It reaches us. greater than all of our sin and shame. Lord God, we thank You this morning for Your grace. And we thank You, Lord, that it's big enough to cover us. Not only us, Lord, but it covers all of Your people and all who will claim it. Lord, we come again to say, yes, Lord, we claim it. We need it applied to our lives again. We need to be blessed. And we know that You will bless us. But Lord, You've already blessed us. And we just thank You and praise You and offer praise and adoration. Lord, we offer thanksgiving. Your grace, sufficient for our sin and all others who will claim it. Praise You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Now praying that prayer that He taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our call to confession is taken from Acts chapter 19, verse 18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Please join with me in our prayer of confession from Luke chapter 24. God of Easter hope,
grant us courage to believe in Your resurrection miracles. Forgive us when we fall into despair or blindness. Give us new eyes to truly see You walking with us, standing beside us, living in our neighborhoods, and speaking through our friends and our enemies. Forgive us when we prefer simple answers to prophetic challenges. Forgive us when we cling to old familiar ways and refuse to see the extraordinary miracles You set before us. Open our eyes that we might see You standing before us in Your resurrected glory, proclaiming the miracles of life and love that never end.
Amen. And we are given that assurance of forgiveness from 1 Peter. Speaking truth to ourselves in love, we cleanse our soul. In Christ Jesus, we have been born anew through the everlasting, living work of God. My friend, in Christ Jesus, we are raised up from the dead, places of sin, and brought forth into the light of new life. Rise with Christ, for we are born anew in God's love. Our offertory sentence today from Matthew 6, verse 21 is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I invite our ushers to come forth to receive our tithes an offering. Come down with Miss Andrea, and there is no children's church today. Children remain in here.
Morning.
By His own hand He leadeth me.
Faithful follower I will keep, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Thank goodness for large print. Before I start reading the scripture, I want to share something with you. Just reading the scripture, first line, the village called Emmaus. For it's been such a dark week in my school building this week, and so many things that have gone wrong. I had a group of young men and women that came in from Emmaus Bible College in Dubuque, Iowa, to work for a week in our building. And what a pleasure to have such fine Christian young men and women to be positive influence in our building for the week. And they taught class all week. And this is part of their college courses that they're taking. So let's read about the village of Emmaus from Luke chapter 24, verses 13. Through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish are you? You are, and how slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Turn in our hymnals again. Hymn 381. Let's sing the first verse only. "Lord, open our eyes that we might see."
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unpass and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, yet open me. Spirit, be thine.
Did anyone, or did all of you get a handout of the sermon outline? Did anyone get one? Tyler, would you and Larry Gardner? Oh, do you already have them? Okay, we don't need to give them out then. Okay. 8 o'clock, we forgot to give them out. Recognizing Jesus. The setting for this sermon is the time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. 40 days. This particular lesson is about the afternoon of the day of resurrection. But we refer to others. There is a mistake in the typing, and that was my business, my doings, my mistake. Down about halfway the page, it says Mark 12:6. Now, if yours looks blurry there, I've tried to change them all to 13:6. Mark 13:6. Also, Mark 13:21 and 22, a repeat of 13:6. What if Jesus visited us in person this morning? What if he walked in a bodily form this sanctuary this day? Would we recognize him? What if he knocked on your door where you live? There was a poem from some years ago. I believe it was set to music for a recitation, a country gospel recitation. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, what adjustments would you want to make at your house? Does anybody remember hearing this song or this poem, or was it set to music somewhere along the way? Well, if he came to your house, would you recognize him? And how would you recognize him? The lesson today is you've heard it, you've read it hopefully, is about two disciples of Jesus, two followers, who had a difficult time recognizing the risen Lord, Jesus. They're not the only ones. They're not the only ones. You may have remembered, or you may do remember, from our prayer of confession. It's really based on, this is a borrowed prayer of confession, but it's based on Luke 24. And give us new eyes to truly see that you are walking with us, standing beside us, living in our neighborhoods, speaking through our friends and our enemies. One of the newer songs, or newer to me, is kind of a chorus, "I just want to see Jesus." And do we want to see Jesus? And do we want to recognize him? And I'm trusting that we want to recognize him. It wasn't only these two that had trouble recognizing Jesus. Before his death, even John the Baptist had some questions about him. Now, John the Baptist was a cousin. I think Mary and Elizabeth, the mother of Jesus, the mother of John the Baptist, were cousins. So, distant cousins. I don't know how far removed Jesus and John the Baptist were. John the Baptist had baptized Jesus. And at the baptism, he recognized who Jesus was. But there are things that get in our way sometime and cloud our vision or cause us to question. Right? Or does that never happen to you? Things get in the way of us really seeing Jesus clearly. Many people's way, at least. And something got in John the Baptist's way. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher. And he called sin, sin. And he talked about the king. And the king had stolen his brother's wife. And they were living together. And John the Baptist knew it was wrong. And that wasn't a good example to set for the people. Well, Herod and Herodias did not care what kind of example they were setting. But John the Baptist preached against them. Well, it wasn't safe to preach against the king and the queen. So he was arrested and put in jail. And sitting in jail, you can think about it, it wasn't humane always in jail. Not in the first century, at least. And John the Baptist began to wonder. So his disciples came to visit him, and he sent them to Jesus to say, "Are you the one? Are you the one? Or shall we look for another?" See, John the Baptist had some of the same thoughts, I'm believing, that Cleophas and his fellow traveler had. They had hoped. They had hoped that Jesus would be a military type leader and would save them from the Roman oppression. They didn't think much about eternity or save them from their sins.
that we're hoping.
So John the Baptist, at one point at least, he wondered if he had recognized Jesus correctly. At the tomb, Mary came, and the tomb was empty, and Mary was sad, and it's in John chapter 21, I mean chapter 20. And somebody appeared talking to her. And she still did not recognize him. Now this was the resurrected Jesus. John the Baptist was the physical, historical Jesus born to Mary. But Mary, a different Mary, Mary had seen him killed and seen him buried, likely. And she came to anoint the body, to visit the grave. We still do that, don't we? Not anoint the bodies, but visit the grave, or the grave site. And it was empty. And she saw someone, and it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. So, if we don't recognize Jesus, we're not that far removed from those even closest to him in his earthly existence, physical existence. He has an earthly existence now, does he not? He's promised to be with us, especially every time we meet in his name. So Mary failed to recognize it. Possibly in the upper room, the ten were gathered. Judas was dead. Thomas was absent. The ten gathered in the upper room, likely, very likely, the same room that Jesus had met with the disciples to institute the Lord's Supper. Celebrate the Passover and then institute the Lord's Supper. And Jesus appeared. They were there behind locked doors. They were fearful of their life. They were followers of Jesus. They were friends of Jesus. Jesus had been crucified. They may be next. They went to the upper room. They closed the door. They locked the doors. And Jesus appeared in their midst. And as you read this from John 20, you find that they were not sure. They were fearful. If they had known it was Jesus, would they have been fearful? Also, Thomas was absent. They told Thomas about it. Thomas said, "Y'all are joking. You're lying. I won't believe it." Now, I did paraphrase there. You recognize that. And so Jesus came again when Thomas was present. And possibly even when Thomas saw the risen Jesus, he had some trouble recognizing. Well, first, though, he had said, "Unless I see his hands and the nail scars in his hands," probably up here, "unless I see his side where the spear was thrust while he was on the cross, I won't believe that it's really Jesus." And Jesus appeared. And Jesus said, to make sure that he recognized, whether Thomas did or didn't, I can't prove either way, but to make sure he recognized him and believed, he said, "Here's my hands, Thomas. Here's my side. Thrust your hand here." And Thomas did. And he believed. At the Sea of Galilee, chapter 21 of John, disciples had gone fishing. Jesus was there by the seashore when they came back in, and he had prepared a meal for them. But as you read that, you find that there may have been some question whether they could really recognize it. Was it the distance away? It could have been. But they didn't easily recognize him, didn't know that he was there. Friends, we don't want to miss Jesus, do we? We want to recognize him. But if we are having trouble, we are not too far from those disciples of the first century. We have biblical evidence of others who have had the same problem that we've had. But they didn't stop there, and Jesus didn't stop there. That's the important thing. He didn't stop there, but I don't want to miss Jesus. I don't want to fail to recognize him, however he would come to us. Jesus warned that many would come claiming to be him, and in my lifetime, I've heard many claiming to be him or to be his favorite disciple. And like, I think of Jim Jones in 1978, and him and his crew drank the Kool-Aid. But there have been others. And one Sunday school class, the kitchen class, I guess, we'd call it, the coffee pot class, they were reading this morning where even some out of their own group, Paul warned that one community of believers, that even some from their own group would rise up as false teachers. Now this is where Mark 13:6 it should be, instead of Mark 12. Matthew 24:4-5, Mark 13:6, and then 21 and 22, and Luke 21:8. Hope I got that one right. I think we checked all of them out after Kim pointed out that 12:6 was not the right verse at the first service. People coming and claiming to be the Christ. And I think of Dr. Moon and the Unification Church, and he was telling how Jesus was going to be born as a baby, like we experienced it the first time. Well, that's not what Jesus said about his own return. Jesus said that he was going to come back like he left, on a cloud. And you find that in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Go read that. Don't believe what Dr. Moon says. I don't want to follow a false Jesus either. I don't want to find somebody else that claims to be Jesus that's really not him and follow him. That's the way to the pit. And that is a biblical word for hell too, the pit. I said that, used that one time, and somebody said, well, I like the way you put it. Well, I wasn't original with it. Let's look at the two in our lesson, the two on the way to Emmaus who failed to recognize Jesus. They walked with Jesus and still failed to recognize him. If you read this, it looks like Cleophas just kind of maybe has been put out with Jesus. And as we were reading this, even this time, it said he just stopped. Now, they were kept from recognizing him. What kept them from recognizing him? You've probably heard many sermons on that. And I don't know. We can conjecture. They stood still. That's back in verse 17. What are you discussing together as you walk along? And it says they stood still. Their face were downcast. Did they stood still because Jesus asked them that question? Did they stand still because that they were so sad? You could read it more than one way. They stood still, their face downcast. But then their question shows they were a little put out with this person who came to walk with them, who happened to be Jesus, who was Jesus. So they stood still, their face downcast, and one of them, named Cleophas, asked, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem? Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? And I can see, maybe he said, where have you been, man? You was in Jerusalem too. I guess you're leaving and going the same way, going to Emmaus, 7 miles. 20 minutes per mile, is that? That's an ambling walk, is it not? I can do that pretty easily. Amble along at 20 minutes a mile. And 7 times 20, 100, somebody do that for me. Standing on my feet, yes, Noah. 140, and that would be how many minutes? I mean, how many hours? 2.5 hours? Yeah. 60 into 140? Well, almost 2.5. So, thank you. Boys listening. Hope y'all are with him. Okay, thank you, Noah. You gave us a great lesson this morning. Okay. They walked along, maybe 2 hours and 20 minutes, and then even, now when did he approach them? Halfway the trip or somewhere, but a good piece. They talked to him and still did not recognize him. Now when Mary heard him say, Mary, call her name, she recognized him. When these two talked with him, they still did not recognize him. And he explained the scriptures. And even though their hearts burned, a little off, this may be one of those rabbit trails, but maybe they thought it was the pizza they had had. Or something. Their hearts burned. They remembered later. Oh yeah, when he was explaining the scriptures, our hearts were burning. But they still did not recognize him when he was teaching them. I don't want to fail to recognize Jesus. In his teaching, when we walk with him, when he explains the scripture, when he talks to us. When did they recognize Jesus? They recognized Jesus when he broke bread and blessed it. Verse 30. We're about to break bread. We are about to break bread. We're about to remember Jesus. I hope that all of us, every one of us, will recognize Jesus through this action. I'd like to suggest three ways that we can recognize him, and I hope that we'll recognize him. I hope we'll recognize him as our friend. Because some people are afraid of Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Jesus is our friend. And he talked to those disciples. He said, henceforth, or before now, you've been called servants. Now, I want you to be called friends. I'm going to call you my friend. John 15:15. The other thing that we need to know is that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Not just a friend of those good people. He's even a friend to sinners. And if you go look up a concordance, you can find that he ate with sinners. He mixed and mingled with the sinners. And he was a friend of sinners. And the Apostle Paul wrote in the letter to the Romans, it's the 5th chapter, about, I think it's verse 8, how it's just rare for somebody to give their life for somebody else. Even for good people, they might venture to give a life for a good person. But Jesus gave his life for us, even while we were sinners. He was our friend, dying for us, to save us from our sin, even while we're sinners. So I want us to know that he is a sinner. Recognize him as our friend, even when we're sinners. And I want us to recognize him as the Savior. And as we're reading this morning, I observed, maybe the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, that Cleophas, who was a disciple, it was so concerned and so sad that Jesus was dead, and then couldn't believe this wild tale of these women who had been to the you read it, and I can read all that into that, or find it all in there. You know, they said, but even he saw him only as a prophet. Read it. He never mentioned in this passage that Jesus was the Savior from our sins. He had hoped, like John the Baptist, like others, he had hoped that Jesus would help them overthrow the Romans. And he saw him as a great prophet. Well,
people of all other religions that don't trust Him as Savior, they saw Him. They see Him, Jesus, as a great prophet. But they won't see Him as Savior. And I hope we see Him as Savior. As we break the bread and drink of the cup. I need assistance. I invite Paul Campbell, David England, Karen Miles, Larry Barnes, Sam Sutter, and Jamie Gross. Time and assist. The bread, the staff of life. Jesus used it to demonstrate His sacrifice for us. Lord God, bless this bread. Enable us to, through our consumption, Lord, enable us to recognize You as one who gave Your life to pay for our sin. Your body was broken. Thank You, Lord. And let us recognize Jesus. Recognize You, Lord, as our Savior. Having eaten and received, I'm able to share with you. Will you eat, recognizing Jesus as your Savior? And would you serve Paul and write down the line? Lord God, we thank You for this cup representing the blood of Jesus. Lord, let us recognize You through this simple act. Nourish our spirit, our souls, in Your holy name. Amen. Having received, I'm able to share with you. Remember Jesus' shed blood. And with you, sir, Paul, and write down the line. You who are believers in Jesus, though you may have trouble recognizing Him, you're invited as a believer, as one who trusts in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Eat and drink from this table to remember and to proclaim His death for us. 213. Let's sing the first stanza. Word. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy
in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Lord God, send us forth, being your people in the world. And Lord, help us never to be so concerned about other things that we would not be able to recognize your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ.